Christian greetings to our dear brothers and sisters, the youth and the children. It's good to be here. In fact, that's an understatement. It's wonderful to be here with our church family again. And I thank you for your prayers, whoever prayed for us as we traveled our way around in New York, Pennsylvania, Canada, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, and whatever. Thank you for your prayers. God was merciful and kept us safe as we traveled. And also, we're all on a journey. Let's pray for each other that we all get there to glory. Greet you in the name of Jesus. And may there be peace in this house. Excuse me. I just felt Henry was just, what he said just now, just simply prepared the table for the meal. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Jesus came and gave himself for us. He bought us with a price. Therefore, let us glorify him in our spirit and in our body, which are God's. We belong to him. And so let us realize that we are messengers. We are ambassadors. We are representatives of the heavenly kingdom. Sometimes I find myself getting a little light on that in my awareness as we go through the days. Brother James made a statement that I really appreciated in our class. Wherever we are, whatever we do, we are to be, and I forget what word he term he used, but what he meant is to be messengers, be a light, to share something about our Christian life and about our God that loved us so much, and that we are redeemed. We are cleansed from sin and guilt if we have confessed anything that was in error or anything like that. God's forgiveness is so wonderful. His mercy to us is just it's forever. God is a merciful God. Okay, let's read here. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Now, apparently, that's referring to the messengers that he sent out in the chapter prior to this. But he sent others out. He sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, nor salute no man on by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, but into whatsoever city ye enter, and ye receive, and they receive you, eat such things as is set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding to be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the day that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! And if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted in heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that your spirits are subject unto you, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Is your name written there? The song says, is your name written there on that page, bright and fair? We rejoice. We rejoice because God has come. God has sent his son to come here to live among men and to set a pattern for us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to him but by him. If you have to excuse me, my eyes play tricks on me now and then. But anyhow, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is the only hope. And now we are ambassadors. We are messengers. Like we are sent out in this world today. These 70 went out in that era. And I think they were very serious. The Spirit of God was with them. And the power was displayed. And even the evil spirits obeyed them. He says that we should, in this case, he said it to them, you know, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We are those laborers, are we not? We are those that are out there sending forth showing forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and to his marvelous light. And so we are those messengers. even if those people who do not agree with us, who do not read the scripture, are not concerned about the scripture, and are living in ways that are contrary to God's teachings, may we just share a portion of that kingdom of God, even as we go about our work, maybe without words. But if we have the opportunity to share with words, let them know that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. We met a number of peoples in our trip, and especially at Niagara Falls. I don't know what all the languages were, but when we met German-speaking people, I really enjoyed speaking German and sharing from the Scripture what I know. Most of my high German is from the Scripture. And it is very interesting. And some people just are not interested. They don't believe in God. And sie haben auch gesprochen das Deutsche. I shared with them in the German. But they're all right. They don't see it. But anyhow, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And so we are those messengers. So the gospel, we have that treasure, the gospel in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power is of God and not of us. It is his power in us as we share along the way, as we travel the highway of life. And pray for each other. We need to go and tell, you know. That's what Jesus told these disciples, these servants that he sent out. Excuse me. So in Isaiah 6, and I'm sure you all are familiar with that, and the year that King Uzziah died, and Isaiah's experience there in the temple, and how that the holy smoke was coming from the temple or wherever, however it was there, and the cherubims were calling one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. The earth is full of his glory." And then as he went on in that those verses, the Lord said, "Well, who shall we send?" And Isaiah was a willing worker. He was a willing messenger. He said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." After that coal was taken from the altar and touched his lips. And so we need to go through that experience as well to be the messenger that God wants us to be. And so there's a lot of illustrations, a lot of examples in the scripture. And one that really stands out is the one who we were studying his writings today, and that is the Apostle Paul. He was such a strong man for the law, and he even persecuted the Christians that believed in the Jesus Christ that came in, but he just couldn't see it until the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. And then he turned out to be one of the greatest messengers of the gospel that ever were, I believe. I mean, maybe I shouldn't have said that statement, but still, we believe that. Paul changed completely. And today, the scripture that we have, and it just clarified, just blessed and inspired my heart to just even have some things, those verses cleared up, and we're stronger than ever, that we are of those that are redeemed. We are of Jesus Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. We are messengers. We are ambassadors, and we want to move forward. And one incident that I remember also, and Isaiah, finish up here with Isaiah, he, how many chapters was it? 66? I'm not sure. He prophesied. He was a messenger, and he stayed with it. And he talked about the wonderful God that we serve. When Jesus was crucified, and he died and was buried, and rose again, when the women came to the tomb, the angel told them, "We know you're looking for Jesus, but he says he's not here. He has risen as he said he would. And go tell the disciples." Go tell. Messengers. Messengers, the love of God in action, going forth and showing those praises and moving on. And we certainly have a promise of the faithful here, even in the verse 17 rather. What is it here? 16. "He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me." And so that is a wonderful promise to the to the messengers. And as we go on encouraging others and pray for each other and going on from day to day, and that new creature that we are in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Are we putting off, like we were taught this morning in the instruction class, are we putting off the old man? Are we really experiencing the power to shove him off by Jesus Christ? Sometimes we deal with him. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we deal with that old man, and we want to get rid of him. And I was impressed this morning when I read, he who would connect to God's power must disconnect from his own power. Yeah, we just can't be filled from by ourselves, you know. We can't be filled with that power. And also, I appreciated Chad's devotional this morning. He read that quote that was in the Beside Still Waters. And I can't even say it now, but anyhow, it's so much as the same, gives the same thought here. We must be disconnected from the world. You read it sometime if you didn't. But anyhow, we want to show God's mercy, or talk about God's mercy and forgiveness, about his love, and just simply go. And Samuel had a message for Saul, but Saul was one of those that he just didn't accept it, did he? Why, he said, when Samuel says, you know, that why didn't you do what God told you to? And Saul said, oh, this, I've done all this, you know, and this and that. But he knew that he didn't do what God said. And so Samuel said, because you didn't obey, God has rejected. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. Must have been an awful shock. An awful shock. But he says here, Jesus said, he that despiseth you despises me and him that sent me. And so we want to be true soldiers of the cross, true followers of the Lamb, bringing the message of hope to those around us. Look at Jonah. Jonah had an awful time, didn't he? We want to be willing workers. Brothers and sisters, we want to be willing workers in the kingdom. And not forsake the message that God has given us. Jonah didn't want to go preach. And a little bit like Henry explained with the Jews, you know, who is this Jesus? Who is this boy that Joseph's son? We know him, and how is it that he is what he is, and so on and so forth. The Ninevites were enemies to Jonah. He just couldn't see in forgiving them for the terror they had done and so forth. And he just couldn't see. He knew God was going to be merciful. And he just decided, I'm not going. But God took a hold of him. And he, after all, he did what you know that story well. He did go. But he was quite displeased when God, he just said, God, I knew you'd do that. Are we that convinced that God will forgive us when we repent? I hope we are. You know, I've struggled in the past concerning sins, sins of my youth. Has God really forgiven me? And, you know, even coming before the church, you know, sometimes the devil wants to interfere there. And, are you sure it's forgiven? But God said he would. He will forgive us if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you struggle with that? Let me encourage you. Trust God. He is true. What he gave a promise, and I'd love to Maybe sometime I can get a message on the I wills that Jesus said. I will. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And there's a number of I wills that I would like to study on more and just encourage people. You know, what God says is true. He cannot lie. He is true. And the words that he says will stand forever. And we certainly need a balanced life. Here we have reading on in the latter part of the chapter, and I won't go through, I would just love to go through the Samaritan, how that this man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And you know the story there, how that he knew the commandment. Yeah. Love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And this situation here is a story of Jesus coming and finding us in the ditch, finding us ruined with sin and Satan, and bringing us up, picking us up, and healing our wounds and forgiving our sins and so forth. And then the latter part in verse 40 of our chapter today, I'm going to have to hurry through. I won't get done till time. But Martha, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. Let us be Martha's and Mary's, but let us be balanced, a balanced life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, I therefore, the prisoner of God, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, as messengers. And if you want a title for the message, we're God's messengers, they're messengers of God. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, our God, one God and Father over all, who is above all and through you all. But unto every one is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It depends on him. As we open our hearts, as we surrender all, as we show forth the praises of him, and some thoughts I want to share concerning that, how that this guy was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the thieves, and here come a priest come by and walking and looked over at him and went by on the other side. And so what kind of a reputation did he have? What kind of a character was he anyhow? He probably thought himself a whole lot better than that man that was laying there. And here comes the Levite as well. They were workers among the tabernacles and the temples and all this and that. And he walks over to him and looks at him and goes his way. What kind of people were they? They were supposed to be workers for Christ, workers in the temple. And the priest was teachers and messengers. But they failed terribly. And their character must have been that way, a little selfish and so forth. And they certainly didn't have a good reputation, did they? Well, Jesus, when the Samaritan came, he wasn't even a part of the Jews. Well, I guess he was. He was a Samaritan, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. They'd rather walk 40 miles around than go through the shortest way, because it went through Samaria. So, anyhow, he came and took him up and bound his wounds and took him to the inn and said, here's some money. Take care of him. If this isn't enough, when I come back, I'll pay you the rest. That was Jesus. That's what Jesus did for us. And so, anyhow, we want to continue on in that which is of the Lord. But I'd like to share with you, time is moving on, but we'll make it kind of brief in closing. I would like to share some special quotes that D.L. Moody, Dwight L. Moody, I don't know, you probably heard the name already. He was an evangelist in the 1800s. He was born in 1835, I believe, and tremendous preacher, preached hell fire, and in the great revival in Detroit and whatever back in 1880s, I believe, something like that, if I'm right. He really preached the gospel, and people believed, and he made a number of quotes, and I would just like to share those with you. He starts out here like, faith makes all things possible, and love makes things easier. In our sojourn here as messengers, walking the Christian life, that people can see that we are walking with Christ. He that kneels most stands the best. And if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. A reputation, and that's important. We all of us have a reputation. That's just the way it is. And I did look up the in the dictionary. Character is a distinctive qualities of a person or thing. Distinctive qualities of a person or thing. That's your character. And reputation is a character derived from public opinion. So, you know, we want to walk carefully. As the songwriter says, walk carefully, danger is near. And so what do the people of the community think about us? And what is our reputation according to public opinion? So it's we need to be careful. We need to really live godly lives. The way I'm encouraging youth and young people as they come to the instruction class, that they will choose godly lifestyles and nothing else, not the world, but godly. And if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. The best way to show that a stick is crooked is not to argue about it or to spend time denouncing it, but to lay a straight stick alongside. Yeah. And so, out of 100 men, one will read the Bible. The other 99 read the Christian. So the song in the Christian example, Christian hymnal, how reads your life book? You know. There's a sweet old story translated for men, but written long, long ago. It's gospel according to Mark, Luke, and John of Christ and his mission below. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by deeds that you do and words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. What is the gospel according to you? Men are reading us, just watching. And he goes on with another one here. He says, I firmly believe that the moment our hearts are emptied of selfishness and ambition and self-seeking and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will come and fill every corner of our hearts. He says, but if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and self-seeking pleasure and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. So, may God help us to keep those things out, the old man, and put on the new man and live according to the new man, the Spirit of God, which lives in us. I also believe that many a man is praying to God to fill him when he is full already of something else. You know, another quote that I found somewhere was, lighthouses don't sound horns, they just shine. Isn't that true? Good information. Before we pray that God would fill us, I believe we ought to pray that he would empty us. There must be an emptying before there can be a filling. And when the heart is turned upside down and everything that is contrary to God is turned out, then the Spirit of God will come in and fill that heart. Jesus said the words, Henry mentioned those words in opening remarks, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. He said also in the same verse, he says, the flesh profiteth nothing. He said, the spirit, it is the spirit that quickeneth or makes alive, but the flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh is just our houses in which you and I live while we're here. And character is what you are in the dark. The Bible was given to us not only for information, but for our transformation. We can stand affliction better than we can prosperity. And I appreciated, the devotional this morning that Chad had. We can stand affliction better than we can prosperity. In prosperity, people forget God. Isn't that what happens at times? Prosperity. And we get involved in material things. So let us realize the importance of what Jesus told that man when that was the other man that came to him and said, what must I do to have eternal life? He told him, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And that's what Paul was writing about to the Corinthians as well. We're in the world, but not of the world. And we have our possessions as though we had them not, I believe. I got the principle anyhow. So may God help us in that we can show forth the praise of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Check out on our character maybe and on our reputation as individuals and as a church. And let's abide in Christ and he in us. I'm so grateful to be here and to be I feel aussichtig sein, if you know what that means, and to just simply see you and your smiling faces. And let us pray for each other in our absence, one from another. We're not leaving for several weeks. But I do ask your prayers you know, my body is getting weaker, I guess, or something. And I'm seriously considering of getting out of the concrete business. I wish I had some young men that would really be interested in taking that on. But anyhow, let us pray for each other and not faint by the way. So if you're in agreement with me, let's kneel in prayer.